Awesome. How many of y'all are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? You glad to be hanging out today? All right. But you know what? We can't get the Israelites into the promised land unless they got the power of the presence of God to guide them. There's power in following God. So go with me to Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, and you're going to go, is the sermon series over? No! We got to get these people to the promised land. In fact, somebody asked me the other day, they said, when are we going to get them to the promised land? I said, we got 40 years to get them there. So we're on our way, and so I hope what you're learning, let's do a quick review. We got to stay focused on God. Have you noticed that? That's been a central theme in this. God is in charge. When God makes a promise, it is unbreakable. Look at your neighbor and say, it is unbreakable. Come on, it is unbreakable. What God says goes. And once you realize that, it's weird. It's weird. There's freedom. There's freedom when you follow God's rules. And if you were like me, I got to be confessional to you. I have a rebel problem. I like to rebel. And so I was one of these kids. If you showed me the rules, then you gave me some ideas that I didn't have before. Okay. I remember going to youth camp. Summer always reminds me of youth camps. And I just finished doing an FCA camp. And I remember our youth pastor used to give us all of these rules. Kevin, that's why I never gave you all any rules. I had a real simple rule when I was a youth pastor. Act like Jesus would have you act. And when you don't, I'm here to teach you how he would call you to act. See, that way you made rebels think instead of give them ideas. Rules sometimes give us ideas. Now, if you notice, in the covenant, God's in charge. Let me give you a three. God tends to move in threes. I don't know why, but he just moves in threes. God makes the covenant. God calls the people to that covenant. And God sustains that covenant. Who's in charge? God. Now, what we've tended to do in Protestant faith and Protestant expression of the faith of Jesus Christ, the United States of America, we've tended to want the church to be in charge. Well, the church is not in charge. God's in charge of the church, not the church in charge of God. Does that make sense? He is sovereign, and whether you want to agree with that or not is really not an issue to him because he is sovereign. He's not asking us to agree with him. Have you noticed that? God never one time says, you know what, I want you to agree with me. He said, I want you to follow me. God assumes he's in charge. Kind of like my wife. I'm just kidding. She knows she's in charge, okay? So let's look at this, okay? And she should be. How many of y'all glad to know that God made a promise to Abraham and that promise cannot be broken? See, I want you to learn that promise will not be broken. God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. This is going to happen. Now you say, Pastor Ayers, why is that important? I want you to be certain that he saved you. Because when you're certain that he saved you, watch what happens. You'll live like you're saved. But you got to be what? Certain that he saved you. So we're going to go to the presence of God today, because God will get you where you're supposed to be if you'll listen and you'll follow God. And that's exciting news. You know, y'all just charge me up. I see young people in here. I see older people in here. I see all kind of potential in here. There's all kind of potential in here. And so I'm going to have to warn you guys, we got to supercharge the church at this moment. Amen. Is that okay? Now, I want everybody to stay. But some of y'all, guess what you're going to say? Man, that's just too much. Well, what can be too much for God? I want you to be everything God wants you to be. Is that all right? What's wrong with that? And it's okay to supercharge church. In fact, let me get down to really honest. The church has already been supercharged. It's already been supercharged by God. God's presence is in you. How many of y'all realize that? The power of God is inside. Look at your neighbor and go, there's a lot in here. Just go ahead and tell them. Y'all go talk among yourselves. Y'all acting like, you know, Lutherans or something. Come on, talk among yourselves. Huh? Now, we need to wake up to understand, has this been made clear? I'm going to go over it one more time just to make sure for clarity. God is in charge. Is that clear? God is the beginning, he is the present, and he is the final of all things. give Him glory. Is everybody cool there? So if you're in the midst of a crazy moment, watch this. How many of y'all have ever had a crazy moment living? Good. If you haven't, please. Somebody needs to resuscitate you. You need to come to life. If you're alive, you're going to have some crazy moments. How many of you all, this amazed you that God's people did not have a smooth ride? I call this the lie of the 80s. Nowhere, nowhere is the true church comfortable. I think we're going to live in the 21st century to see the greatest deception of the church was teaching the church that it should be comfortable. Nowhere. My colleagues that are into all this comfort, you know, you be comfortable and relaxed and find out. I go, where is it? Show me. I'm a Bible preacher. Where has God ever spoken? And now I have died so that they might be comfortable. It's not in there. God's not about our comfort. He's about what? He's about showing us His glory. Let me show you. You ready? Let's go. Chapter 40. We're at the end of Exodus. We're going to keep rolling. Kevin, we got to keep rolling. It can't be over because they're not in the promised land yet. And guess what God told Moses? I'm taking you to the promised land. And guess what? God cannot lie. That's what I love about God. How many of y'all, God does not lie. How many of y'all realize right now, if any of you all asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, He would come into your life? Why? He said He would. He said He would forgive you. He said He'd love you. He said He'd sustain you. He said He'd stay with you. He said He'd give you peace and joy and hope. And eventually, I want to go over this again. Now, Alex, you got it. You got it because I asked you up there. Eventually, we end up where? Heaven, don't we? I mean, after we get it all done, we go where? Tell me, church. Heaven. We go where, church?
Heaven.
Where we go?
Heaven.
Now, my man right there in the middle of those two good-looking sisters, he's got it down. He's going like this. Hey, I'm going to heaven. Now, we need to hear a little bit about heaven. Amen? I don't know about you, but I get enough hell during the week that I need to have a little heaven on Sunday. Amen? How many of y'all get a little hell during the week? Now, by the way, young people, children, I need to put a disclaimer on some of my sermons. When I'm using the word hell in church, I'm talking about a place and a location that God does not want you to be in. Do not use this word outside of church, or they will send you to the principal's office. I'll tell you all what happened. One of our fine elementary students used a pejorative term that I had spoken in worship. And to his teacher, he answered the question. He used this term. And his teacher goes, where did you hear that? And he goes, Pastor Steve, he's my pastor. And she starts grinning. This is the problem of being a minister in your hometown. And she starts grinning. She goes, Steve Ayers is your pastor? He goes, yes, ma'am. Like, he thought that was going to help him. And she goes, I went to school with Steve Ayers, so let me give you a familiar experience that he had to the office. Luckily, when he arrived at the office, Tim Murley was cruising through at that time. Thank God. God is sovereign. And Tim, one of the elders of our church, was able to help him understand that he didn't need to quote everything in every setting. And then Tim came to my office and said, you need to watch your mouth. I said, all right. Okay. So Tim took care of two kids in one day. Amen. We got to understand that God's presence wants to be with us. Now, I want to tell you what we got to do here. If we're going to be an influence on the world, we got to pick up our worship in the church. Worship allows us to understand God. Go with me, and I want to show you how important it is at the end of the message of Exodus. It ends in worship. Verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory filled the tabernacle. Every week, we got to have a glory-filling moment. Glory is important. In fact, the ultimate role of our existence is to glorify God. We glorify God. Now, at church, I got to challenge you with the truth. People ought to see a difference in who we are than people who are without Jesus. They got to start seeing a difference. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're not going to live in the glory of God, man, you're being cruel because then nobody can see the reality of God. Now, I'm just going to tell you the truth. This, you know, Jesus t-shirt wearing stuff and arm bracelets and rings and all the stuff we've been into, that's not going to cut it in the 21st century. It didn't cut it before. We need real people. Raj, I'm glad to know that we can hang out, and when we get in a real crisis, there's a real God, aren't you? You've been there, man. We went there together. And you called, and I said, Raj, listen, here's all I'm telling you, stuff works. And all of a sudden you went, hey, Rev, it really does. That's the way we get it to people. Harvey, aren't you glad to know? I'm giving you all real stories. Watch. Sometimes you need to hear the current gospel. Harvey, remember when you got baptized up here at the lake?
Yes, sir.
What was it, a year later? Doctor had found some diagnosis, and you were healed. God healed you. I mean, you had to line right up there with the blind men and the lame men and the healed men, and God's still doing that. Sure. Isn't that great? Now, some of you say, well, I had a sick person and God didn't heal them. Sometimes He doesn't. I'm kind of like old Bill O'Reilly of the church. I'm fair and balanced. All right, here it is. There's both sides of this coin. Sometimes God, people died while Jesus was alive. But anybody who repents of their sins, did you hear how I said that? Anybody whosoever repents of their sins and asks Jesus Christ to come into their life, God tabernacles with them. Why? You've got to have a tabernacle to get to the promised land. Nothing's changed. The tabernacle is the place that symbolized where God lived among them. Now, where's the new tabernacle? Y'all talk to me. Come on. It's summer. We can talk during the summer.
Right here,
is that right? Now, think about this. So when we're in worship, this would be very true. When we're in worship, we have a lot of mini tabernacles coming in here on Sunday morning. And what are we supposed to do? Release what God has filled us with. Is everybody going to understand that? Because I wanted to teach you today. It's more of a teaching today than a preaching. That we would come into worship and release what God has filled us with. Now, you men, guess what? Some of us are going to have to sing. I don't have a singing voice. Never had a singing voice. Never will be able to sing. Mumble. God will even accept this. Just milli vanilli the thing during the courses, all right? He'll work with you on that. He'll look at it and he'll go, there's Ayers making an attempt to sing. In fact, people don't know how much he's blessing people not singing, but he's moving his lips because he wants to participate in my what? My glorious moment. Let me ask you a question. Did we get worship on today full strength? Got a yes, got a no. Now it sounds like Congress. Come on, work with me. Where are we going to decide to go, huh? Was it full strength today? How many of y'all came in here today, each individually gathering together in the tabernacle and said, God, we want your presence to fill this place with such authority that we can't miss your direction. Did y'all come in here like that? Three or four of you. What if everybody did? What do you think would happen to the Church of Jesus Christ? We wouldn't miss God's direction. So I just want you to gather that teaching, okay? We got to really worship. That's important. What was the tabernacle there for? To know that's a place where God spoke. God tabernacled with Moses. So I want to give you three things that we have in motion right now. God's promise. Tom, you'll like this being a lawyer. After God gives a promise, the second thing he does is establish the law. So there was a need. If we have law, there's a need for what? Lawyers. Back then they were called priests. They kept God's law. We got to have a conduct, right? So we got a promise, we got a law, a way to live, and we got a destination. What is it for the people of Moses? For the people of Moses, promised land. Now let's look for just a moment. Do we have anything different in Jesus Christ? We have a promise. God says if you repent of your sins and ask Jesus into your life, He's going to do what? He's going to forgive you. Now here's what's cool. Then He fills you with what? Holy Spirit. Which changes your conduct. How many of y'all live different today because you're filled with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. How many of y'all have to think about sinning at least? I mean, at least you got to think about it now. I can't tell you that I never sin, but you know what? I can tell you this. I sure do feel bad about it now. I don't know about y'all, but before I surrendered my life to Jesus, I could just sin and it did. I just sinned. How many of y'all just sinned? Sin was just a way of life, especially in the summertime. He's like, hey, we're going to go. I'm not going to tell you where we did it. But, yeah, we went there, and we just sinned. We didn't even think about it being sin. Why? When you're in sin, you don't think about it being sin, because sin will please who? Us. How many of y'all found that sin made you happy? Good. We got two honest. Y'all, listen. Y'all want me to start telling what I know in this room right here? No. We know that sin caused us to glorify ourselves. You see where this is off base? And Jesus calls us to glorify God. When you're glorifying God, it makes it more difficult to do what? Sin. There you go. So we got a way of conduct and we got a destination. This is just my personal opinion. Do with it what you want. I don't think we preached on heaven enough. I don't know about you all, but I'm excited when I get to go someplace exciting. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. If God says, hey, I need you to do a conference in Chicago in February, I'm not excited about that. I consider that a sacrifice of the Lord. It's cold up there. It's windy up there. You walk between the buildings and you could get frostbite. I mean, it's one of those places that God just really hit hard in the winter. Now, in February, if God says, I need you to go to Aruba, I consider that a blessing of God. And if I have a choice between the two, obviously, I know God's calling me to Aruba because I think he hangs out there more in the winter than he... No, he's... Could be the way. But I don't know about you, but my conduct changes according to where I'm going. Are any of y'all like that? I mean, really, this vacation time, that's why I'm bringing it up. How many of y'all getting ready to go on vacation sometime soon? I know for all you parents who have athletes in high school, this is your week. You got 2 weeks of dead period and boom, you got to get it in. And you get ready to go. You get ready to go on vacation. How many of y'all like going somewhere that you really like to go? Yeah. I hope home's one of those places. How many of y'all like going home at the end of the day? This really enhances marriage. If you enjoy going home and being at home, how many of y'all get toward the end of the day and you go, wow, I get to go home. And not, oh, Lord, help me. We got to go home. Okay. That would be an exciting place. Well, I want you to know that our destiny is heaven. That hadn't been taught enough. There's a reason that Jesus has forgiven us of our sins. The reason is that we might be the reality, the glory of God. But there's also a location for that reality. And that is one day we end up in heaven. And I think we need to understand that, embrace that a lot more fully than we have been in the last couple of decades. There's a heaven. Not just is there a hell, there's a heaven. And what goes on in heaven is, guess what? Those who've been brought into God's glory reside there forever. Now this glory stuff makes sense, doesn't it? Just think what, Bob, because of Jesus Christ, one day we're going to see the ultimate glory of God. What a meltdown. But I do believe this. On our way, we have to encounter God's glory so we'll have the directions on how to get there. Do y'all know where I put my Bible? Good deal. How's that for honest? Now, let's go look here. He said, God's cloud, his presence, he came in the presence of a cloud, rested on the tabernacle. And I want to show you how it works. God was in charge, so Moses did not move forward or backwards without directions from the cloud. Here's the most important thing you can do right now. Pray. I'm going to give you a lot of P words. Praise, pray, and proclaim. That's what we're missing. Praise God with the life you've been given and quit lusting after somebody else's life. Quit looking over and go, well, how come they get to worship like that? Because they got a good voice. Enjoy them praising God. Enjoy the presence of God in each other. Praise who? God. If we started praising, I wonder what our lives would turn like. We'll try it this week, okay? Just try it this week. Here's a great challenge. Anytime you get ready to complain, praise and see what happens to your life. You know, when you say, oh, Lord, I feel bad. Well, praise God, I'm not dead yet. Praise will bring the hope of heaven into the reality of earth. Try it. Pray. Know that God's power is there with you. And guess what? Huh? What do we know? Promise of God is always around us. Pray and then proclaim that God's working in your life. How many of y'all are glad to know God's working in your life? He is. How many of y'all realize you're going to get to heaven in spite of yourself? Now, that's the truth you need to hold on to. Okay, we're about to wrap up. Look at here.
Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I want you to know this simple truth today. God always gets there before you do. I love this about God. Everybody's tore up about this moment in history. You know, we got all these. Did y'all know Michael Jackson died? And poor Michael, I love Michael. You know what I hope for Michael? I hope Michael's in heaven. I've never heard him confess his faith in Jesus Christ, though. Making the thriller video will not get you to heaven. I hope Farrah Fawcett knew Jesus Christ. I mean, she was, just gorgeous. True? I mean, she was, I have to tell you, man, God made her well. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I'm a child of the 80s. I kept one of her posters under my bed because my mom probably thought it was bad if you hung it up in your room. Y'all remember Charlie's Angels? I was into law enforcement, you know. But, Sheriff, that's probably why you became a sheriff right there, knowing the truth about it. Sheriff walking around thinking he's Magnum P.I. or something, you know. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, but Farrah Fawcett, guess what? She's a gorgeous woman. That's just the truth. Why do y'all look funny when I say she's a gorgeous woman? What do y'all think? Preachers can't detect ugly from beauty or something? I mean, it's there. All right? But guess what? Being a gorgeous woman is not going to get her into the glory of God. Does that make sense? Ed McMahon. He always told people he'd give them $1 million if they won the sweepstakes. Remember that? At Publishers Clearinghouse? That was Ed McMahon. He was on all kinds of shows. He had a really cool voice. But all he had is a cool voice. Guess what? That's not what we believe. We believe in the glory of God. We believe that Jesus Christ means what he says. We mean in the promise of God. So I just wanted to encourage you today. Let's up the response. Praise. I want to encourage you as you come into Hillview on a weekly basis. Let's praise God. And here's part of the praise. The praise is the whole package. It starts in the parking lot. Glad to see you today. Okay? How many of y'all glad to see each other? You know how you watch this. Here's the way you learn people's names. You ready? It's a radical concept. Here's how you learn people's names. You ready for this? Radical. It's radical. I'll do conferences on this. Ask them their name. You know. You go, and your name is?
Susan.
Here's Susan. And your name is?
Bob.
How can you forget Bob? You know, you can remember Bob's name. What about Bob? Remember the movie? What about Bob? Bob. Here's Bob. How many of y'all know you're worshiping with Bob? What is your name? Elizabeth. And see, you'll have people that look at you like, you ought to know my name. But you go ahead and ask them their name anyway, okay? And let them rejoice in the Lord. We need to praise. Watch this. We need to praise as we come into the house. We need to praise during worship in the house. We need to praise God as we listen and as we give the benediction and we leave the tent of meeting. We leave the cloud of God's presence. We ought to praise Him by the way we live our lives. Praise is important. Prayer is important. You got to talk to God all the time. Now, Moses listened to God because the cloud came in. God sent the message in. And Moses listened to God's instruction. Here's why. He was convinced. Moses was convinced that only God knew how to get there. Moses was convinced that only God knew how to get there. Let me tell you what the glory of God's like. It's like one of those Garmin's or TomToms. You know, how many of y'all got one of those GPS things? Can I ask y'all a question about that? We got one. Blake got one for his mom a couple Christmases ago. Why do you think they put a woman's voice on it? First time I heard a thing, it was a woman giving me a directions. I said, these people are incredibly smart. There was no change in my life driving. I've always had a woman giving me directions. Elizabeth's bad, too. She could get a job with those TomTom people or the Garmin people. And you would miss the exit. Used to in the old days before we had all this technology, when we went on a trip or vacation, you went somewhere. How many of y'all had your wife with a map? They all had a map. And what were they doing, gentlemen?
Directions.
They were telling you where to go. Now, I'm not going to play with that one too much, but I'm just going to let that happen. Okay. They were giving instructions to the destination. Hold on. That's exactly what the glory of God's doing in this tent meeting. A given destination. I remember my dad and my mom and all of us in the family. Every summer we took a summer trip to Grandma's, and she would have that Gulf gas station map laid on her lap. How many of you said something when your husband missed the exit? Back in the old days, a woman wouldn't say anything. My mom was just like a tom-tom. She would just redirect him like it was a continuation of he knew where he's going. Because a man, if he makes... Y'all know what I'm talking about. You men know what I'm... Hey, I've driven 50 miles out of the way just to prove my point that you could get there from the way I was going. One time when Elizabeth and I were on a trip and we were in the middle of East St. Louis in the wrong part, and she looked at me and she goes, "This is definitely the wrong way." I said, "I wanted you to see this. This is a part of my exposure for you to see the whole world of what's going on." She said, "You better get out of here. We ain't going to see nothing." I said, "You are correct." You see what I'm saying? And Elizabeth was so much better than the tom-tom because Elizabeth loves exits. In fact, she doesn't think I know the word exit. She doesn't even think I can spell the word exit, because she'll get on her little map and she'll know we're supposed to exit at exit 6. And guess when she starts telling me, 10 miles out. If Elizabeth, there would never be an airplane ever land in the wrong place if Elizabeth was on control tower. Because as soon as it took off, she'd start telling it where it's supposed to land. I mean, we got 10 minutes and I hear, "You know, you're supposed to get off at exit number 6. Guess what? I don't know, ladies, I'm going to blow you all away. We men are capable of comprehending that the first time. Sure, you're disagreeing with me. Harvey's not. Sometimes. But then guess what we get? It's 15 seconds left. You know exit number 6. And then there a minute goes by. Exit number 6. And here's what I love of that. Especially when we get close to the exit. It's like the Holy Spirit just leaks out of her. She's like, "Exit number 6. There it is. There it is. It's exit number 6. Get over. Get over. Get over." Huh? And Jerry, here's the way it happens. I'm telling you. As soon as I get to exit number 6, she goes, "Now you're supposed to get off at exit number 3, 2 miles from now." I had a Garmin way before they invented one. If I could have just recorded Elizabeth and given it to all of you, we'd have paid the building off. Yeah. Hold on. And then what's going on in tent meeting? God said, "I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you where to exit, and I'm going to tell you where to enter, because I'm taking you to where you need to be." That's the God we can trust. And look what he said. The cloud went with them. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. I want to end there. How many of y'all are traveling through? You are, whether you think you are or not. Huh? By the way, I don't want to disappoint anybody. Nobody's staying here forever. How many of y'all have made that observation? So really, let me loosen you up a little bit. Quit acting like you're taking up residence forever here. Chill out. Now, if you listen to some of our issues of the day, I call it the Superman complex. We got everybody trying to save the planet. You know why? You all don't think core beliefs make a difference, but core beliefs make a difference. When you think you've made the planet, then you got to save the planet. When you believe God created all things, then you believe God will save all things. These are important little beliefs that become big ideas. It is because God made it so. God's presence will dwell with us, it will guide us, and it will get us to where we're supposed to be. So I hope we will all dwell together. Where? In whose presence? God's. Did y'all get the message today? Did y'all get any instruction today? Did we waste time today? I hope not. Okay, good. Y'all don't talk to me. I'm going to talk to you. Well, I want to give... You know what? in a room this size, how many of y'all probably figure there's some people need to meet Jesus today? Okay, well, listen, I need your help. Let's not make that complicated. For every believer, I just want to help us, okay? Kevin, the reason I'm going over some of these things, God's added to our numbers some more beautiful people. So we need to know what to do at altar call. Y'all need to pray that people that don't know Jesus get what? Saved. I don't know about you. Even people I don't like, I want them to be saved. That doesn't mean I'm going to like them anymore, but I want them to be in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
How many of y'all got some people you don't like? Y'all think I'm talking up? Yeah, me too. See, I love all our young people. Lindsay, I love y'all. Hey, you're right, Pastor Steve. I got some of those too. I'm dating him, but I think we're going to work it out. Okay? But isn't that honest? Why have we lied in the church all these years? You know, people come to church and they get all amazed that they go to church with some people they don't like. How many of y'all going to have a family reunion this summer? You like everybody that shows up there? Huh? How many of y'all always got an aunt or an uncle and it's just that aunt or that uncle and you just know they're going to be there and you just take a deep breath and get through it? How many of you are that aunt or uncle that would show up? Yeah, I mean, it's just part of it. Just part of it. Well, I want to invite you to know Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to come and pray. Listen, I'm not going to be pounding on our nation. You know, our president's up against a lot of things. So, you know what I think the best thing to do is? Pray for him. You say, well, Pastor Harris, do you agree with our president? I don't agree with anybody on everything except God. Watch this. I don't even agree with stuff that I personally wrote 10 years ago. I've changed my mind because hopefully I got 10 years smarter. Hopefully. I go, you know what? With what little limited knowledge I had 10 years ago, I thought it was this way. But I've been going to the cloud during the day in the fire by night, and I see it differently now. Mr. Jimmy, over the years, have you seen things a little differently as you've progressed? I call that good news. Amen. I am so glad, Coach. I am so glad I'm not confined to my 16-year-old mind. How many of y'all have seen people who are old still acting like they're 16? Can we say gross altogether? Now, if you're 16, that mind looks what? That's fine. But when you're 46, that's not a good mind to have. It's time to do what? Move with God to your destination. Does this make sense today? I want us to pray at this altar. I want us to pray for our president. I want y'all to know we've been threatened as a nation. How many of y'all are aware of that? See, I don't think North Korea is joking. And personally, I'd rather pray preventively than all of a sudden we have to come in here one Sunday and say, oh, isn't it tragic? We'll light a bunch of candles and the churches will be full and there'll be 500,000 dead people laying somewhere in America and then we'll all wake up. Then it won't be cute anymore. When you hold hands with other gods, you die. How many times has God said that since February in this message? And it doesn't matter who you are or who you think you are, when you start holding hands with other gods, people die. You know what we think? Well, we're in America. God bless what? Y'all really don't want to give God our rap sheet, do you? Because we're not going to come out on the holy end of the stick if we start talking about all the wonderful things we participated in. So I think we need to plead the blood of Jesus over our nation. We need to pray that as many people as possible can get saved. Guess what's going to happen? If we tell people about Jesus, some of them are going to get saved. Will you at least give it that? Some of them will. I'm after the some that will. Amen. Is that you today? How many of y'all have said, you know what, I'd like to tabernacle with God? Well, let me let you in on the great news today. He would like to tabernacle in you. You say, well, how in the world do I get Jesus in my life? Alex and Jack showed you today in baptism. Did you hear it? I asked Alex and Jack. I said, Alex and Jack, did you realize you had sinned? Did you realize you'd broken God's law? How many of you realize you've broken God's law in here? I look at the Ten Commandments. Have no other gods. Okay, let's go to the next one. Honor your father and mother. Ooh. Do not covet your neighbor's stuff.
Don't kill people. I know y'all think that's the one you're not into. For all of you like me that have grown up in Kentucky, this is the one I hear all the time. But you remember this. You've grown up here all the time. They go, preacher, now I'll tell you what, I'm all right because I ain't killed nobody. So I don't know how you spell that. Killed nobody. It's not quilt, it's kilt. I ain't killed nobody. I said, really? I said, well, according to who? Well, I ain't never been arrested. Sheriff ain't never got me. You know what most of the time, Sheriff, we're saying, I know you probably know this. Most of the time when we say we haven't gotten arrested, what are we really confessing? Haven't got caught. How many of y'all going to speed today? You already know it. You're just predestined to speed. You know you're probably going to speed today. There you go, Sheriff. Now you know who it is. All right, so here you go. See what I'm saying? All right, I should have got my hand up. I know I am. I live in sin on that issue. You know? You know why? It was that Molly Hatchet song. I can't drive 55. Wasn't that Molly Hatchet? Huh? No. Who? Sammy Hagar. That's one of them long-haired fuzzy dudes. You know? I can't drive. Yeah. 55. I'll be driving 55 for too long. Because they'll probably tax you every mile that you speed. Now, Sheriff, here's the idea. Speeding permit. You just pay a certain amount of money to go as fast as you want. Elect me. Now, I'd pay a little extra for that. Sheriff, here's $200. I'm going to Nashville. I'll be there in 25 minutes. But then, see, everything would be messed up because it'd be hard to take one of them little go-kart cars that we'll all have and go that fast. You won't even worry about me going fast. You'd just be worrying if it'll go. I'm trying to think how I'm going to pull my boat with a battery-operated car. I'm trying to figure that out yet. Be going up a hill. That's all right. We'll be all right. Did I tell y'all we're going to heaven? Guess what we're going to drive in heaven? Nothing. Because we'll be there in the presence. We'll just be present people, man. Isn't that going to be cool? Like, you know, if I want to go over to Kevin's house, I'll just go, hi, Kevin. Well, that's your house. It'll be like those movies, you know, when people could just bling, bling. It'll be like Bewitched. Ding, 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 bing, and you're just there. You want to go to the, you know, you want to go to the islands in heaven? Boom, you're in the islands of heaven. Now, how many of y'all want to miss that? Some of you say, well, I'll tell you what, I don't believe that. I'm just going to stay in hell. Go to hell. Don't go to hell. You know what I love preaching? I get to tell you this. You don't have to go to hell. If you realize you've sinned and you ask Jesus to come into your life and you believe he died on the cross and he's risen from the grave and you ask him to come tabernacle inside of you, guess what's going to get inside of you? Okay, what gets inside of you? The glory of who? God. Okay, you lived in Korea for a little while, yes. When you lived in Korea, you saw a wonderful church there by Pastor Cho. It was filled with the glory of God. And that church has changed the whole nation. They don't mess with Pastor Cho. Pastor Cho is so filled with the glory of God. One time the president of South Korea called him. Sheriff, check this out. The president called the pastor. The pastor's assistant. You know what she said? The pastor was praying to God. She told the president of South Korea, right now he's in higher business. He'll call you back later. Yeah, now, of course, if we were in America and the president of the United States called while the pastor was in prayer, they'd be foaming. They'd look like my little puppy dog. President's calling me. I must be important. Instead of, wait a minute, I'm talking to God. I get my answers from the tabernacle, not the hired servants. I suggest we get back with God. Guys, some of you, God's calling you to be saved today. Listen to him. Some of you need to come and just pray today. How many of y'all could just come? You hadn't been to the altar in a while and just say, God, I want to come to the altar because I want you to realize I know I need to hear you. That changes everything. By the way, I want to thank you all for your faithful giving. Let's keep it up. We had a great offering. Tithes. I want you to tithe. You say, well, Pastor, I can't tithe. I don't believe that. And here's why I don't believe that.
I don't believe God will ask you to do something that He couldn't do in you. Elizabeth will tell you this. You can tithe and not make any money. Her and I have done it, haven't we, honey? We didn't make any money. I was trying to do a loophole. How many of y'all are trying to find loopholes? Came to Hillview, things was rough, and I said, honey, if you really figure it, I'm already tithing my tithes, if you figure like this. And so really, if the church was up and going, I'd really make this, so I'm really giving this. And she looked at me and she said, that's not what God said. He said 10% of what you got. Guess what she was doing? Being a tabernacle. She was. How many of y'all found women speak the truth of God a lot more than men? They turn their head too. You can almost see God coming out of them. You can hear those whistles of an old Western. Woo-hoo. Truth coming down. That's not what God said. Guess what? She was right. That's not what who said. It's what I said. I was giving the loophole. Because I'm a son of a lawyer, so I know loopholes. She just said, this is what God said. God said you need to be saved. God said you need to worship Him. God said we need to pray together. I just want us to do what God says. And then hold on our way to the promise of all promises, heaven, and see what happens. Amen? Amen. Y'all been beautiful. Let's stand up. Been a great day today. Let's open this altar up. Scott, thanks for just letting God move beautiful in you. Doesn't Scott lead worship in a beautiful way? Don't y'all love hearing Scott's voice? Thanks, man. You know, now, I'm just telling you, Scott's from Alabama. Hillview's one of these churches. We're from everywhere. Scott's got that Alabama Holy Spirit in him. That's a different one. It kind of goes, welcome. Got a little soul in it. The altar's open. Come be saved right now. Come be baptized if you need to get it taken care of. Come and pray. Listen. Come on. I love you guys. We're going to stay married if you chose to be married. If your marriage is on the rocks, come set it straight with God. Come pray over your marriage. So, Lord, for just a moment, we're going to open up this time of prayer and just let you move in our lives. God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for blessing us. And now we ask you to bless those that are going to be saved, those that are coming for baptism, those that need to be healed. Thank you, God. Church, got good news. This altar's open. Come and give thanks. Come and give glory to God. Come and ask God to speak into your life. Do what God wants you to do. It's that simple. Especially if you know God's pulling on your life to be saved right now, we'd love to talk to you. Just pray. Come on, I love you guys. You know God's doing some cool stuff right now. Come on, church. Come on, church. Let Him have your life.